Federal law prohibits employment bias against people who are 40 or older. The Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967 makes it illegal to use age as the only factor when hiring. But unlike strictly protected classes such as race and gender, age does get more leeway. There is a gray area. Employers are able to take other, quote, reasonable factors into account. A 2013 study by AARP found that about two-thirds of workers aged 45 to 74 say they have or experienced age discrimination in the workplace. Arianna Tobin is engagement editor at ProPublica. Her organization worked with the New York Times to investigate recruitment advertising. Arianna, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Well, can you explain what is age-targeted job recruitment?
Sure. So what we are specifically talking about here is a practice called micro-targeting. And that happens when you say you are an advertiser and you're trying to sell peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to people who work outside of an elementary school. And you think, how can I'm going to spend as little money as possible, but reach exactly the right people. So you go into the back end of Facebook or Google or any other place where you are have decided to buy ads, and you say, I am specifically only want these ads to show to people who maybe work in this specific neighborhood around this elementary school. And of the people who go to this elementary school every day, who's most likely to buy peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I think probably it's kids whose parents don't necessarily pack them a lunch. What characteristics do they have? And then on top of all of that, as an advertiser, you have the platform, in this case Facebook, making a bunch of suggestions to you to say, you appear to be looking for people who seem kind of like this. Let us tell you from this wealth of data we've collected from all of the users who participate in our platform, what we can, these categories that we've pre-populated for you to find exactly the kind of people you're looking for. As an advertiser, this is amazing because it means that you're most likely going to get your message in front of exactly the right people. However, when you start getting into sensitive, legally protected categories like housing or employment, it does start to get tricky because once you start setting boundaries on what kinds of people can see ads, you also have to think about what kinds of people cannot see those ads. And in this case, this micro-targeting situation, what we found at ProPublica and the New York Times was that there were a whole bunch of employers out there looking for their ideal candidates and setting an age cap. So specifically saying, we're looking for people who fit these characteristics and who are under this age. And that skirts really close to that age discrimination law you just mentioned.
You can see how easy it would be for advertisers to make the leap from peanut butter and jelly to recruitment advertising. When companies, when you investigated how this was happening, how common is age-targeted recruitment advertising?
Well, that's what's so interesting. We reached out to 39 of the companies we found, and all of them had different reactions. And quite a few, I think there were at least 9 or 10, said they didn't realize at all that this could possibly be a problem because the platform did make it just so easy where they're automatically pre-suggesting what the age ranges should be or could be. So we had some companies that said, look, this is part of a wider recruitment strategy. We had some companies who said, we don't want to talk to you about this at all. And then we had some companies who were like, wow, I really wish that Facebook would flag this for us. We are not trying to be exclusionary here, but it is very easy, as you said, to make that jump.
It seems rather intuitive that age-targeted recruitment advertising would violate federal non-discrimination laws. So how is this practice legal?
Well, Facebook itself, when we went to them with our findings, They said, I think the title of their blog post was "This Time ProPublica, We Disagree," because they would argue that age-targeted job ads, as long as you're buying a range, as long as you're, getting the word out there, that really it's an industry-accepted practice that is also different, like, than race or gender, because you could make the argument that you have people forever who have bought ads in certain kinds of publications trying to reach that group. So if you buy an ad in Teen Vogue, you're really hoping that you're going to only reach teenagers. The difference to the mind of many employment lawyers, and as will be tested in a court of law very soon, is that these ads on Facebook, you cannot see them. So this isn't a question of you won't buy that magazine, because if you bought that magazine and you opened it up and you saw that there was an advertisement for your dream job, you could see it. If you're scrolling down your Facebook feed, you don't see what you can't see, which, you know, that sounds like a ridiculous sentence, but that was the experience that we had over and over again, asking older workers to scroll through their Facebook feed, where they're like, wow, I went to Costco yesterday and I talked to my wife about buying an air fryer, and isn't it creepy? All of a sudden there's this ad for an air fryer on my Facebook feed, and yet I'm actively job hunting, I'm actively seeking out a job, and Facebook knows that, but they're not necessarily showing me employment ads. But if you don't know to look for it, and you can't see it, then you're not going to realize that the problem exists.
We're talking right now with ProPublica's engagement editor, Ariana Tobin, talking about age-related recruitment ads and how they have gone wrong on social media. You can join in this conversation. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Do you use Facebook as a tool in your job search? Have you experienced age discrimination in the workplace? Join us. Email us, ideas@wpr.org. Ariana, have you seen some legal challenges here in this area for age-targeted recruitment advertising? What have been the challenges?
Yeah, so the same day that we published our story, a class action complaint alleging age discrimination was filed in federal court in San Francisco. And that was about major employers denying opportunities to older workers by preventing them from receiving these exact kind of recruiting ads on Facebook that we're talking about. And that lawsuit was specifically filed on behalf of the Communications Workers of America and its members, and as well as on behalf of, if any of your listeners are Facebook users 40 and older, on their behalf as well. So there is a legal challenge that has recently been lodged. You know, we have yet to see how it plays out. At the same time, also after we published this story, there is some action in the Senate. So Maine Republican Susan Collins and Pennsylvania Democrat Robert Casey, they're both on the Senate Aging Committee. And they wrote a letter to Facebook and Google and LinkedIn asking them basically how many employment ads on your platforms are targeted by age groups, what safeguards do you have in place, what are you doing to prevent employment discrimination based on age? The companies, they are supposed to respond by the end of January. So that will be interesting to watch for, to see what happens there. But otherwise, other than that, there's the Employment Age Discrimination Act of 1967. That's the main piece of legislation protecting employees based on age. But there's another law that isn't about age discrimination, but it is about the larger question here, I think, of transparency. And this is called the Communications Decency Act, Law 230. And basically what this says is that on the internet, whatever happens on a platform, like the content itself, is not the responsibility of the platform. So if you're an advertiser and you're buying an illegal ad, is that Facebook's problem or is that your problem? And what this law says, like where the big open legal question is basically that it shouldn't be Facebook's problem. At the same time, as Facebook is trying to become a bigger player in recruitment, as they're basically recruiting advertisers to use their platform, it isn't quite that clear cut. So that's one of the really big open questions that we'll keep watching for this year.
Facebook Vice President of Ads defended the company on the way it targets certain age groups, saying this marketing tactic was the industry norm. The AARP found in a survey in recent years that the majority of older workers believe age discrimination occurs in the workplace. ProPublica's engagement editor Ariana Tobin stays with us. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Have you experienced age discrimination in your workplace? What did you do about it? Do you use Facebook as a tool in your job search? Call in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll return after a news update. Legal protections are in place to safeguard people from age discrimination in our workforce, but many older workers feel that ageism is a problem, especially in the tech world. ProPublica investigated recruitment ads targeting younger workers on social media platforms like Facebook and found some people never saw specific ads due to their age. ProPublica's engagement editor, Ariana Tobin, is here to talk about the investigation. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Have you been turned down for a job and thought it might have been related to your age? Are you an older adult looking for a job? How is it different from job searching when you were younger? You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Sarah, who joins us from Zion, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. You know, before I ask my question, I am way over 40, and I have experienced, I'm a substitute teacher, and I'm looking for long-term positions, an actual position, and I've had long-term assignments a lot. So our district is moving toward computer-based instruction, and they're happy when the old teachers retire. In fact, it seems like they're trying to get rid of the older teachers, A, because older teachers make more money, but also because old teachers do not like being replaced by computers, and that is actually happening in classrooms. And, my bigger question was, can you go over the various reasons for discriminating against older people? Is it money? Is it health? Is it just that they're not tech savvy, supposedly?
Sarah, thanks for the question. Ariana, go ahead.
Hi, Sarah. I mean, that's a great question, and it's one that it's pretty difficult to answer. I think what I'm hearing from you and what we've heard from a number of people we've talked to in this investigation, it's just this nagging sense that age discrimination is real. And you have all of these various pieces, these anecdotes that really feel like they add up to something, but it's difficult to answer that larger question of, what and how and why. I can't say specifically for teachers. I can't say specifically for the, 39 companies who are advertising opportunities on Facebook here. But in general, older workers tend to be more expensive. So when someone has, years upon years upon years of experience, and maybe they have certain retirement benefits, maybe they have health benefits. And I think the original impulse of putting in place this age discrimination, any kind of age discrimination protection, came from the sense that older workers tend to cost more. Other than that, I mean, it's difficult to say with any kind of certainty where age discrimination exists and why. You've seen a lot of cases go to courts and basically be shot down for all kinds of different reasons. But at the same time, I think those questions of health, those questions of technology, in many ways, just, plain old prejudice. So there's a Mark Zuckerberg quote out there that's pretty great, where he basically says, younger workers are the best workers. So in a lot of ways, I have a colleague who has been covering the age discrimination beat for years upon years. His name is Peter Goslin. And what he says is that age discrimination is one of the last forms of discrimination that's really still socially acceptable. And I think we've talked with a lot of people who would agree with that.
Sarah, thanks for the call. Ariana, after being contacted by ProPublica and the New York Times, several companies, you said, including LinkedIn, Amazon, Northwestern Mutual, they said they were going to change or had already changed their recruiting strategies. Are you monitoring or have we seen signs of this?
We know LinkedIn changed their platform pretty much as soon as we got in touch. And by changed, it means they took out certain places where you could exclude. And they also just put a box in that says, it looks like you're making an employment ad. Will you promise us that this is not discriminatory? Other companies, we can't. Many of these ads had already ended, so the specific ads themselves, if they said they were going to change, they took it down or it had already finished. But what we are still doing is we're asking people to download the browser extension that let us see these ads in the first place. So if any of your listeners want to help, at ProPublica.org, we have something called the Political Ad Collector Tool. And on Google Chrome and on Firefox, anytime you log into Facebook, it will take a survey of all of the ads being shown to you at that moment and completely anonymize. So we won't see you, we won't see any data about you, but it will give us a sense of which companies out there are targeting ads in any direction. So yes, this project absolutely continues and we would love some help.
Are there legitimate non-discriminatory reasons a company might choose to only show its recruitment ads to a certain age group?
Sure. There are. And there's also the argument that you could target certain kinds of advertisements to people based on their characteristics and also base other kinds of advertisements towards people based on other characteristics. So say if they were trying to recruit me, a woman in my 30s, maybe they would show me a picture of a woman in my 30s. But have another ad with exactly the same copy and show it to a man in his 50s. So you could, there certainly are reasons. There are also other, according to the Age Discrimination Act, age is a factor, but it is not the only factor for employment. So if it was something about like physical strength or other kinds of like diversity recruiting mechanisms, many employers could make a case. In these cases, you know, that's generally all you can see on Facebook, all you can see with micro-targeting is, according to our project, is basically a single ad at a time. So it's one of those fuzzy things that's difficult to pin down, but with these ads and these companies, all we're seeing is an age cap.
So how should older workers find a workaround on this issue? Did they just look elsewhere? What do they do?
Yeah. One thing we've heard from older workers over and over again is this really frustrated sense of just sending resumes out into the ether. So sending application after application after application and just hearing nothing back. And I think eventually that gets really frustrating. I talked with one man, his name was Mark Edelstein. And what he would do is he's a marketing strategist, and he wanted to work in email newsletters, doing SEO, working on online advertising. And one day he got an email newsletter that had like a really big gaping flaw in it at the top. And so he went to that company, he figured out the email addresses of all of the top brass at the company that had made this mistake, and sent them all a personalized email saying, hey, I saw this thing happen in your email newsletters this morning. If I were working for you, here's what I would have done. Here's what I would have put in place to keep that from happening. And I think eventually he got a response that way. Of course, that's a lot of work, but that specialized approach seemed to at least hopefully work for him.
And a very non-traditional approach. Ariana, what do you see happening next? Where is this conversation going?
I think the conversation that at least what we are going to continue investigating here, it's really about transparency. So it's about the fact that this is happening, that we know that micro-targeting exists on Facebook, but because Facebook isn't just opening their doors and saying, come look at what we're doing, we have to be creative about ways to figure it out on the other side. So that's where tools like our political ad collector have been really helpful, in that they break open that black box at least just a little bit so that we can force the conversation and force these big tech companies that really are controlling more and more and more of our lives to be able to give us some insight into the ways that they could potentially be abused. So for us, it's going to be relying more on Facebook users to talk with us about what they're seeing and to help us out trying to see what the next big issue we need to expose should be.
Ariana, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Ariana Tobin is engagement editor at ProPublica. That's a nonprofit investigative journalism organization. We've been talking about job recruitment advertising on Facebook that targets younger people. The story in the New York Times is called Facebook Job Ads Raise Concerns About Age Discrimination. What do you make of ageism? Do you see it where you are? 800-642-1234. Share your story, or you can also send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now let's bring in Lori McCann. She's senior attorney at the AARP Foundation. Lori's a civil rights attorney and an expert on labor and employment law. Lori, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what do you use as your definition of age discrimination? Can you give us a working definition?
Sure, that's pretty easy. Age discrimination is, it happens anytime anybody is treated differently based on their age. That's what the Age Discrimination and Employment Act is all about, that people are entitled, they have the right to be evaluated for either a potential job or for the work they're doing based on their qualifications and skills and not on their age, as well as any unfounded assumptions or stereotypes about age.
How common is age discrimination in our workforce?
It's ubiquitous. it happens all the time. You see it, you know, and when the economy tanks, it really goes up high, but it really never goes away. I think that until, as a society, we decide that age discrimination is as serious and as wrong as other forms of discrimination, it's going to be with us for the long haul.
Do you see that there are some industries where it's more common, more prevalent?
I do. The industries where you see it being more common and more prevalent are those where youth is seen as, you know, a value. So certainly in the high-tech sector where there's the stereotypes and the assumptions that you can't teach an old dog new tricks and older workers aren't able to learn new technology and that they're not cool, and so we can't hire older workers. And you see the tech companies bragging about how many millennials that they employ. So tech is one, but also advertising. Again, the feeling that, you know, youth is at a premium, and if you're older, that, you know, you don't bring the creativity that's necessary for those type of positions. And certainly, like on camera media, you see it a lot too, and that particularly hits women harder than men.
So can you talk about the laws that are in place to protect American workers from age discrimination, and do they go far enough?
Sure. I mean, the main law is the federal law, the Age Discrimination and Employment Act, and it protects people 40 and over from age discrimination, which I described as being treated differently based on their age in the workforce. And it applies to employers with 20 or more employees. But Congress made sure to say that they wanted the federal law, the ADEA, to be just a floor, not a ceiling. So almost every state has its own state law that also prohibits age discrimination in employment. And some of them, as Congress intended, are actually more protective and more broad than even the federal statute. The ADA needs to be strengthened. One way is that, like under Title VII, if you're discriminated against, you can receive punitive and compensatory damages. You can't get those under the ADEA. So, you know, it might be harder to get an attorney to take your case if your damages. So your only damages are, you know, your back wages, any lost monetary damages. So you don't have that sort of, you know, kind of hammer of a large punitive award that can help you. So certainly adding punitive and compensatory damages to the ADA would be helpful. As I said, many state laws are more protective. So many state laws, you can get compensatory and punitive damages. Also in 2009, the U.S. Supreme Court raised the evidentiary burden for age discrimination plaintiffs in federal cases. And we are hoping that eventually Congress will enact the Protecting Older Workers Against Discrimination Act, which would restore the ADEA back to where it was, and it won't be harder to prove age discrimination than it is other forms of discrimination.
Lori McCann, what are some common signs of age discrimination? How can someone tell if they might be a victim of age discrimination?
Well, again, you go back to the definition, it's, you know, if you're being treated differently based on age. So you want to listen for age-related comments. One example is someone, you know, your supervisor constantly asking you, when are you going to retire? It's okay to ask once, but if you're constantly being asked, you know, what your plans for retirement are. If you're passed over for training or promotional opportunities and your younger coworkers are not, that's an indication that, you know, your age may be entering into the equation. And a reduction in force, you know, look at who else was laid off with you. Do they all seem to be older? Were younger workers transferred into positions to protect them from being laid off? So, I mean, it's pretty just looking to see, you know, how am I being treated differently and how are similarly situated younger workers being treated.
Lori, we had a caller earlier, Sarah, who called in wondering why would companies want to discriminate against older workers? What is the disadvantage?
Well, that's an excellent question. Because, you know, older workers have experience, they tend to be loyal and more engaged. But I think it gets down to the fact that 50 years after the enactment of the Age Discrimination and Employment Act, we still haven't conquered the root cause of age discrimination, which is these sort of unfounded assumptions and stereotypes about older workers. Those are the root of the problem, and until we get to the bottom of it, age discrimination is going to be a problem. And AARP tries to educate employers about the values that older workers bring to the job and that it just makes good business sense.
More than 20,000 age discrimination complaints were filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, in 2016 alone. The commission thinks incidents are likely underreported. AARP, meanwhile, has asked the EEOC to strengthen its guidance on what is considered age-based harassment in the workplace. And Lori McCann, AARP's senior attorney, stays with us. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Have you been turned down for a job and you thought it might have been related to your age? Are you an older worker looking for a job? How is it different from job searching when you were younger? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll return after a news update. According according to a 2013 study by AARP, it found that most people see age discrimination happening when a worker hits his or her 50s. Last month, a federal judge threw out a punitive damages of $50 million awarded in an age discrimination lawsuit brought by a former Lockheed Martin employee. The judge wrote in the ruling, quote, "It was not unreasonable for the jury to find that age discrimination was the real reason for the forced departure of the engineer at age 66. We're discussing age discrimination in the workplace with Lori McCann. She's senior attorney at the AARP Foundation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been turned down for a job and thought it might have been related to your age? Are you an older adult looking for a job? How is it different from job searching when you were younger? Do you see age discrimination on the other end of the life spectrum as a younger worker in the workplace? Join in at 800-642-1234 or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Ben, who joins us from La Crosse. Hi, Ben.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Ben. Go ahead.
I'm 72 years old. I don't have a Facebook or a computer. I do have a MySpace, though. And I got turned down from a job at a gym because I was trying to be a personal trainer. I lost all my money, so I need a new job, but I can't find a job.
So, Ben, when did this happen, first of all?
This has been pretty recently, in the last 6 months.
And how do you know that this was related to your age?
Because the person they hired was about in their 30s or so. I am a member of this gym. I've applied at several other ones.
And how old are you?
72 years old.
So you're 72, and have you seen this in your other applications? Have you seen this occur repeatedly?
I've never seen a 72-year-old personal trainer or an older one. I'm in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and so let's get Lori here to respond. Are you there, Lori?
Yes, I got cut off a little bit, so if you could just kind of recap.
So Ben made, he's 72, he made an application to be a personal trainer, and he has seen this repeatedly when he applies to be a personal trainer, that he's not the one picked for the job, it's someone much younger. Can you hear us, Lori? Oh, I'm sorry. And so we're having some technical difficulties with our phone, but we've been hearing from Ben, who is a personal trainer and has tried a number of times to get a new personal training job at the age of 72. And it seems as if it's always someone much younger, much more youthful, who gets picked as a personal trainer for the job. Lori, how would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, with just that fact, it very well could be age discrimination. We don't know. And that's the problem with hiring discrimination, is you're usually not given a reason for why you were not selected, which puts you at a disadvantage to know whether or not you should file a charge of age discrimination, because you don't, you know, you're not given an explanation. But I would say, with the pattern of him consistently being passed over for younger people, that it very well could be age discrimination. And it goes to the point that if he's qualified to be a personal trainer, then, you know, his age should not be keeping him from getting a job. And I think, you know, in that line of work, you would probably see a lot of stereotypes and assumptions enter into an employer's decision making.
When is it worth it, basically, to file an age discrimination lawsuit?
Well, that's a very important personal decision. I think that, and it's been AARP's position that, like you mentioned, how many charges are filed with the EEOC every year. Our position is that is probably just the tip of the iceberg as to how much discrimination goes on. Because many people decide not to file a charge of age discrimination because they just want to get a job. Their goal is not to have a successful lawsuit. Their goal is to get a job. And so when you file a charge with the EEOC, that's just the start of the process. And to bring a lawsuit for age discrimination, it can take a very long time. It can be very expensive. And it can be emotionally draining. So it's a big personal decision whether or not to bring a lawsuit or just to focus your energies and your resources on trying to get a job.
And this may also complicate your effort to get a job.
Well, it shouldn't, because there are strong rules against retaliation, that the fact that you challenge age discrimination should not stand in the way of you getting a job, or if you filed a charge while you're still employed, for example, because you did not get a promotion or were passed over for training. That's not supposed to be used against you, which is not to say it doesn't happen. So you do need to watch if you feel that you're being retaliated because you did challenge what you perceived as age discrimination. And if you feel like you're being retaliated against, you need to file another charge making that allegation.
Well, we have the numbers, the data, more than 20,000 age discrimination complaints that have been filed with the EEOC in 2016. What do we know about the 20,000 complaints? Are there patterns?
The EEOC does track like the nature of the complaint. So certainly the most common reason for filing a charge is termination. But again, that doesn't mean that that's the most common form of discrimination. We believe that hiring discrimination is much higher than the charges would reflect, because, again, you know, when you're the victim of hiring discrimination, you often do not know you were the victim of hiring discrimination. So you have that gut or, you know, feeling that it must be my age because I've been sending in an inordinate amount of resumes for jobs I'm qualified for, but I'm not getting any callbacks. So we do see, you know, that termination is the most common, but that's because if you're terminated, you usually still know somebody who works at your former employer. And you might, you know, say you have lunch or you have a phone call with them and they say, you know, they said your job was eliminated, but now there's a younger guy sitting at your desk doing the exact same thing you're doing. So that gives you more to hang your hat on when you file a charge of discrimination. And you have less to lose because you're already out of a job. So, you may be more likely to file that charge of discrimination.
What are some misconceptions about older workers and job applicants?
Well, again, you know, some of them are that they're just going to be retiring soon anyway, so why hire them if, you know, they're going to be retiring soon? Where the, you know, but what this...
Oh, you don't have the longevity with
exactly.
This employee.
Sometimes they call it runway. You know, and that gets back to signals of age discrimination. If you hear runway, that might be a signal that they're concerned about your age. But the statistics show that older workers are working much longer these days, and usually it's the younger workers who kind of are moving from job to job, kind of following the money, which is not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, it just shows that, you know, older workers get the unfounded assumption that they're going to be leaving soon anyway, but it may be the younger worker who leaves sooner than they do. Again, the feeling that they can't keep up to date with new technology, but certainly they can, and older workers should continue to be lifelong learners and stay up to date with their skills, and if they do so, they are excellent employees. So there's also these assumptions that they can't work with or for younger workers, which is just pure falsehood. So those are just a few.
What should employers do to help prevent age discrimination in their hiring practices?
Well, for one, I think only 8%, AARP also did another study where we found that only 8% of companies that have diversity and inclusion programs include age as a component. HR should definitely make sure that they include age in those type of programs. And hiring managers need to be trained on how to recognize when they are being influenced by their own stereotypes or assumptions about older workers, as well as other types of workers. Maybe having an age-diverse hiring panel So there are a lot of things that companies can do to try to make sure their hiring practices are more fair to older workers.
Do you have any advice for older job seekers who are out there right now getting out their resumes who are at risk for age discrimination?
Well, on your resumes, it's important to leave off dates. There's no reason why you should include your dates of graduation, for example. And then AARP advises people to use more of a functional resume, you know, to list your skills and qualifications. Make sure you, you know, use any sort of keywords that are listed in the job posting in your resume. But get away from that chronological type resume. And leave, you know, you don't need to list every job that you've ever had. Tailor the resume to the job and make sure you leave off any dates.
Do you think, though, in doing this, that sends a signal to the prospective employer?
Well, it very well may, it's the best thing to do. But you're right. I mean, you may have an employer that says, well, there's no dates on this, so the person must be older. You can only do so much, but I mean, I think it's better to leave the dates off than to include them.
As we wrap up here, Lori, AARP has asked the EEOC to strengthen its guidelines to reduce age discrimination. Do you think that there is federal legislation in the future that will help workers?
Well, sure. I mean, I already mentioned that there is pending legislation called the Protecting Older Workers Against Discrimination Act, which would restore the ADA to where it was in 2009. And I think that's an important first step, and we're really hoping that there's some action soon because it has been pending for a while. But, I mean, we would hope that as we move forward that we look to the ADEA and see what other types of reforms are needed to make sure it's as strong as possible to protect people against age discrimination, including changing the damages as I mentioned earlier, but also shoring up any other weaknesses to make sure that in the next 50 years it does an even better job of.
Lori, thank you so much for joining us. That was Lori McCann, senior attorney at the AARP Foundation. Earlier in the hour, we heard from Ariana Tobin, ProPublica's engagement editor, on its investigation into job recruitment marketing tactics on Facebook and other social media platforms. This hour, The Morning Show was produced by Colleen Leahy and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.